Palm Sunday, the day of the week that starts off a whole lot of things that happen in the life of Christ, that we base our whole Christianity and our identity on. What day was yesterday? Does anybody know? Yesterday was, I just went blank. Passover, thank you. Yesterday was Passover. Passover also starts a very important week. It ends, Passover was yesterday. Today starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that feast goes for a week and ends next Sunday. So it's a week-long festival occasion remembering what Jesus has done. And what I'd like to do is kind of go at 30,000 feet, flyover of this week of what happened, starting with the entry into Jerusalem and Palm Sunday and going all the way through to the point where Jesus was laid in the tomb. Next week, we'll pick it up where Jesus comes out of the tomb. It's a good day. And then we'll go back and we'll cover a few more things there. But so in consecutive order, according to Luke, these are all out of the book of Luke, starting in chapter 19, verse 28 is Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem, riding on a colt, the colt of a donkey that had never been rode before. Matthew and Mark say, mom donkey come along with him, because the colt was that wild. You can't get a colt to leave mom for nothing if you've ever tried it. It doesn't work. So just to make life easier, they brought mom donkey along with him. He rides into town. They're shouting Hosanna, laying down palm branches. Everything looks really good in the eyes of the people. Our Messiah is here. Our Savior has come. He is going to free us from this Roman oppression. Verses 20, chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, the leaders question Jesus. They inspect him. They said, who gives you the authority to say the things that you say? And Jesus says, let me ask you a question. Was John the Baptist of God, or was John the Baptist of man? And they thought it over and they said, this is a trick question. It says, if we say he's of God, Jesus is going to say, then why didn't you follow him? If Jesus is, or if John the Baptist is of man, he's going to say, the people are going to get really upset and riot. So they said, we don't know. And he said, neither am I going to tell you. And he just left it. But he was inspected and quizzed and grilled by the local authorities, the religious leaders. Next thing that happens in the line of order is in chapter 22, verses 1 through 6, Judas agrees with the Pharisees to betray Christ. I'll do it. Handshake, pinky swear, spit shake. I'll do it. I'll turn him in for you. Chapters 22, 1 through 13, the upper room is prepared, where Jesus says, go into town and find this room and say that the Lord needs it and go from there. That is all prepared. It's all set up. Chapter 22, 14 through 33, communion started, where they're having the Last Supper, and Jesus says, you know, this is my blood, this is my body that is broken for you, and we will come back and deal with this a little bit later. But that's when it started. After communion, after the Last Supper, they leave, they go to the garden to pray. You all remember this story where Jesus goes into the garden, he prays, he sweats blood. The disciples are sitting out towards the front of this garden. They fall asleep. And Jesus comes, wakes them up. And the next thing that happens is Jesus is arrested. The authorities come. They arrest him. The guy gets his ear cut off. Jesus puts it back on. We know the whole story, but that's what happens next in the order of events. Next thing that happens is after Jesus is arrested, he's taken into town, Peter denies him the three times. They take Jesus into the courtyards and they beat him. That's chapter 22, 63 through 65. The first trial then begins in front of the Sanhedrin, the religious leadership, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all the gurus with the big hats and the long robes. They get in front of him and they question him, they trial him in the middle of the night, completely illegal. But that's the first trial that Jesus goes through. Chapter 23, they take him to Pilate. Trial number one for Pilate. Pilate finds out that Jesus is from Galilee. That's Herod's territory. I don't want to have nothing to do with him. I'm going to shift him over to Herod so I don't have to deal with it. Go to Herod. Next thing that happens is Herod's trial. That's where they put a purple robe on him and mock his royalty. Herod doesn't find anything going on, so he sends him back to Pilate for trial number two of Pilate. And that's when Pilate says, "It is my custom, it is your custom that I release somebody. Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas?" And they said, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." So the next thing that goes on is Jesus is crucified. After that trial, that's when he's been scourged already, giving the cross, goes through town, hauls it up to Golgotha, nailed to the cross, and there he hangs. Chapters 23, 50 through 56, Jesus is buried. Where one of the Pharisees asked Pilate to have Jesus' body. He did not agree with what was going on with the rest of the Pharisees. He said, "This should not have ever happened." He said, "Can I have his body and take it down before Sabbath comes?" He's granted that, puts him in his own tomb, and that's where we are going to leave it off. So that is the whole progression of what happened this week. Let's go back to Passover. Let's go back to the Last Supper. As Jesus is sitting there in the upper room having the Last Supper, they eat their meal, and Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." We all know what the Passover initially meant when the nine plagues against Pharaoh that God instituted, and Pharaoh keeps hardening his heart, and the last one was the major one, that the firstborn of everything is going to die. Cows, animals, gerbils, your son, your firstborn is going to die. Unless you take a lamb, bring it into your house, watch it, inspect it, kill it, take a branch, sprinkle that blood on your doorpost, and then the death angel that comes by that is going to wipe out the firstborn of everything will pass over your house. That's where we get the word Passover from. They will pass over. Your family will be untouched. And because of that, Pharaoh said, "Get out. Go. Take everything with you. Just get out of my sight. I don't want to see you anymore." And they were gone after 400 years of slavery. So at this point, when Jesus is meeting in the upper room with the disciples, it's been about 1,450 years since the first Passover. And they have been celebrating this, saying, God said, "Remember, do this in remembrance, that you can remember what I did, God, what I did to free you from slavery." that I saved you from the death angel, that you put the blood of the Lamb on the post. If there's no blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no Passover. There's no overlooking what's inside the house. Jesus changes a few things around at this Passover. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." For the last 1,450 years, they have been looking back to say, this bread is what we made in haste to leave. We didn't have time for it to raise. It's unleavened. Leaven in the Bible speaks of sin. We didn't have time for it to raise, so we just took bread and water and made unleavened bread, and that's what we're eating. We had to leave in a hurry. Jesus said, no more. This bread is my body, which is broken for you. For the last 1,450 years, we have been looking back to what God has done. But in a sense, it's all been foretold of what's going to happen in 24 hours. I am going to be hanging on the cross, and my body will be broken for you. Not to pay the price for 1 year. The Passover had to happen every year. Every year they'd meet, come to Jerusalem, kill a lamb, a perfect, sinless, spotless lamb, and kill it. It only lasted 1 year. Jesus said, my body is broken for you once and for all. It's good. It's done. It's okay. You're okay because of me. And then he takes the blood, the cup, the juice, and he said, this is my blood, which has been shed for you. No longer are we looking back to the blood put on the doorpost for the death angel to redeem us from death, to redeem us from slavery, but we are looking forward to Jesus hanging on the cross and his blood shedding for us for a once and total remission of sin. The cup that he took and said, this is my cup, was the third cup. There's four cups at a Seder meal, a Passover meal. We know it's the third cup because the Gospels tell us that after the meal, he took the cup. There's two cups during the meal, and immediately after the meal, there's a third cup. That cup is the cup of redemption. There's a reason he picked that, because we are redeemed because of his blood. And he said, no longer is it because of the blood on the doorpost, but it's because of the blood on the cross. And it's a wonderful thing to look forward to. Passover, what does it mean for us? Christ is our Passover lamb. It has been the sacrifice. Paul says that. He has been sacrificed. John says in 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus has always been referred to as the Lamb. How is Jesus our Passover lamb, and what does that mean for us? Does it really make a difference whether Jesus has taken the place of the Passover lamb, or if, you know, why is that so important that we make this correlation between the Passover lamb and what the lamb did back in Egypt and what Jesus has done for us on the cross during this exact same time? Number one, the lamb was selected and inspected on the 10th of Nisan, according to Exodus 12:3. Exodus 12 is the whole rules and regulations that the Israelites had to do for this lamb in order to get it ready for the Passover to avoid the death angel. And so in chapter 12:3, they were supposed to select it on the 10th of Nisan. Nisan was the first month, their year. The Jewish year begins with Nisan. The 10th day of that month is when they're supposed to get their lamb. That's when everybody had to choose a lamb. Couldn't be on the 9th, couldn't be on the 11th, it has to be on the 10th. Jesus was selected and inspected on the 10th of Nisan, the same day that everybody inspects and chooses their lamb. The 10th of Nisan is Palm Sunday. When he got on that donkey and he rode through town and everybody's waving at him and saying hallelujah, that was the same day that all these Hebrew Israelite people were picking their lamb and inspecting it and saying, yeah, this is a good lamb, choosing the lamb. After, and Jesus was questioned, chapters Luke 20, 1 through 8, where all the Pharisees and the scribes, and they ask him, by what authority do you have? And he said, I'm not going to tell you if you can't tell me. He was being inspected the same way that the Israelite children would be inspecting their lamb. During this whole week, Jesus would come every day into the temple and preach. After this inspection, after the Pharisees had questioned him, was when he turned over the tables and cleaned out the temple. So the next day he'd come back, found this all going on, cleaned it up, taught in the temple every day for that whole week. It wasn't safe to stay in Jerusalem, so most scholars think he went back to Bethany, to Mary and Martha's house, stayed there for the night, come back into Jerusalem the next day to preach. He did that for 4 days. Come in to preach, was inspected, everybody was listening at him, he was teaching. Number two, he's supposed to keep it in the house for 4 days, the lamb. That's Exodus 12, 3 and verse 6. So this lamb become part of the family. They were inspecting it, make sure that it was absolutely perfect, no bruises, no spots on it anywhere, a perfect lamb. And that's what was happening during this whole week of this week coming up for Jesus. Every day he was coming back into the temple and people were inspecting him. They were looking at him. They were asking him questions. He was teaching. They were knowing everything about him, that he was the perfect Lamb of God. And as he was coming back into town, he was constantly teaching the disciples as they were walking around, not necessarily in the temple, but he was, as a man knows that his life is coming to an end, he wants to pass on his vital information, his last words, pass it on to his friends. And that's what Jesus was doing, talking about the kingdom of God and some of the important things that he just wanted to reiterate that as he left, they would remember. The third thing about sacrificial lamb, it was to be a year old. And a male, Exodus 12:5 tells us that. In other words, it was right in the prime of his life. You slaughter a lamb at 1 year old. If it gets much older than that, it has not become lamb, it becomes mutton. And nobody likes mutton. So you always slaughter a lamb right around a year. Jesus died in the prime of his life, just like the lamb died in the prime of his life. The lamb was to be without defect, Exodus 12:5. Jesus was a sinless sacrifice. 1 Peter 1:19 says, a lamb without blemish or defect, spotless. That's what Peter called Jesus, a lamb without defect or spotless. The lamb was to be a sacrifice on the 14th of Nisan. They chose it on the 10th. On the 14th was when they actually killed it. And it was to happen at twilight, the ninth hour. We talked about this Wednesday night a little bit. When's the ninth hour, Dwayne?
3 o'clock.
He has come to his senses and he agreed with me. And so anyway, ninth hour, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock at twilight, just before it ends, it had to be sacrificed on that day. And remember, Jewish time, the next day starts at 6 o'clock. So it had to be between 3 and 6. Anytime after 6, it's now the next day and you're too late. So you got to keep that in mind. But that's when it was supposed to be sacrificed, was during twilight. Jesus would have been sacrificed, would have been crucified on the 14th of Nisan, same day that they crucified the lambs. On the 14th of Nisan, and he died at the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Matthew 27, 45 through 50 tells us the exact time that he died. He was hung on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, but he didn't die, hung his head and said, "It is finished," and cried out his last at 3 o'clock. The same time that Jesus is dying on the cross on Golgotha, over on the hill, the Temple Mount, the priests are over there sacrificing the lambs at the exact same time that Jesus is dying on the cross for us. He is the Lamb of God. The bread of the Passover was without leaven. Exodus 12:8, very specific. Jesus was the bread of life without sin. John 6:48 says that he had no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in every way, but still without sin. The lamb was to be sacrificed without breaking a bone. Exodus 12:46. Very specific instructions on how all this sacrifice was to be made. No broken bones. And the same thing with Jesus was crucified and not a bone was broken. John 19 tells us that. And Psalm predicts that when the Messiah is crucified, that he will not a bone will be broken. The spear that was thrust into him come in underneath the ribs, did not hit the ribs, did not break a bone, come into the sac around the heart. Blood and water come out. When they nailed his hands, it didn't go through the hand. There's not enough cartilage in his hand to hold you up. It'll rip out. So it goes into the wrist. You have two bones in your wrist, a big bone and a little bone. That nail would go in between the two of them and hold you up. It can't rip out that way. But again, no bones broken. Eight, the blood of the lamb was God's gracious provision to save the Jews in Egypt. The blood of Jesus was God's gracious provision to save both Jews and Gentiles in the world. They both have a purpose, to save the Jews in Egypt and to save the Gentiles in the world. Passover past eliminated slavery in Egypt. Passover present eliminates slavery of sin. Bryce?
To sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy, the people gave him none. The second one was violent, he was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross, falling. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword, and so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. thy hands I commit my spirit. He prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. Lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
Watch the Lamb. Lord, thank you for being our Lamb. Thank you for paying the price for something that we could not pay, and you willingly took it on. You shed your blood, and we just thank you for it. Lord, does this week, as we go through looking forward to next Sunday, help us to evaluate our lives. Help us to, with a renewed spirit of what you have done for us this week, that we might come through next week looking forward to Easter, looking forward to what you have done for us as a resurrection day, as a celebration that you have done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.